my kids, my parents, my grandkids. I love them. I love them. And we understand kind of what that love means. We say, well, I love sports. I love chocolate pie, coconut cream pie. I love sugar cookies. I love cooking. I love baking. I love fishing. I love your new haircut. See, we have a distorted view of what love is. And let me tell you something. If I mention the word love, and close your eyes and picture something that's lovely, love, whatever, if it's not the face of God that you imagine, you have a distorted view of what love is. Okay? We mess things up. I mean, that's been from early on back in the garden. We've shown that we have the potential and actually the habit or whatever of messing things up, messing God's pure things up. And love is one of those things that we've kind of misunderstood. I wanted to tell you real quick before I really get too far into the sermon that I have it by David Evans' own admission. He said, for the record, and he prefaced it with law. I'm not sure what law is. LOL, laughing out loud. For the record, David followed the lead of Jesus. He too wept. So there you have it. But if I know David Evans, it was a very manly cry. Am I right? Absolutely. He gives me a thumbs up at the movie. So if you want to see your man cry, take him to the movie. We've spoken in this series about how God calls us to develop an intimate and growing love relationship with Him. And I mentioned, I believe it was Wednesday night, that's one of those things that, as guys, let me just speak to the men. Can I speak to the men for a minute, ladies? Will y'all let me do that? Men, this is a difficult concept for us sometimes, okay? Because God is identified as a masculine person, that being what we would consider male, okay? It's the father. It doesn't say mother. It says the father. And so when we picture this, when we talk about a love relationship with this masculine figure, I don't want to call it a man because God's not a man, okay? But it's kind of a hard concept for us because we have these, well, wait a minute, I'm whatever, okay? Now, the women, they seem to have a easier time in relating to that, okay? Typically, women are more emotional than men, but not all the time, okay? Not always. There is the first obstacle for us as men, okay? Now, that's out of the way, everybody can rejoin the conversation now. But yet, even when we try to identify with what that is and what that looks like, using words like intimate and a love relationship, still, the world has a perverted definition of what intimacy looks like and feels like and isn't. And we've got to set aside what we know and begin to try to understand what God wants to express to us. Okay? And it is the most purest. I didn't say that right. I can't say most and purest at the same time, can I? It's the most deepest, purest, loveliest, and the mostest of the most that you could ever get is what comes straight from God. Undefiled, and that's what God has intended for us. It's all possible because God first initiated it. God took the initiative in this relationship by giving us Jesus at the cross. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. If you think about some people that you can love, okay, outside of your, let's just go outside of your household, okay? Even outside of your family, let's go that. And just show of hands, does anybody have anybody outside of that familiar relationship that you can say, oh, I love that person? Anybody? Okay. You love them, I'm assuming, because you know them, right? You probably got to know them first and decided to love them. God said, I'm going to love you first. Now let's get to know one another. That's a whole. See, we don't operate that way. But that's the way God operates. And he started the whole process with you. While we were yet sinners. Amen. We didn't deserve a thing. And he said, I'm going to love you anyway. There's a whole sermon in that verse right there. It's only out of an appreciation of this love that we can love God the Father. John 1:4, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. That's the reason that we can love. It's because God first loved us. And a love that properly appreciates God's love will be expressed. How? Through obedience. Through obedience. We understand God loves us. We say we love you, God. And how do you show that? By being obedient. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. That's how we show that we love God the Father. How we love Jesus, his Son, is by obedience. When a person first accepts Jesus Christ, it's a response to the love of God that was demonstrated through the cross, expressed by obedience to the gospel. 1 Peter 4:17 says this, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Well, we know what the outcome is for those that do not obey the gospel of God. Those that do not respond to the call of God for salvation. Now, as the people who have obeyed God, those that have accepted salvation offered through Jesus Christ, we've come to know God personally, and as a result, an opportunity to love him all the more. This love should also be expressed through obedience. We need to tell God we love him. And listen, in a relationship, if you say, I love you, okay, maybe that's spouse to spouse or parent to child or grandchild, whatever, or maybe that's just a friend. You know, I tell a lot of the people here, I love you, I love you. And those words are nice, and it maybe brings encouragement back and forth when somebody says that to you. But nothing says I love you than them actually showing they love you, right? What's more powerful to you? Let me just ask my wife. What's more powerful to you when I give you a kiss on the cheek and say I love you, or you come home and find that I've done the dishes and folded the laundry and swept the floors? Okay. We love him all the more. And we express that through obedience. This is how we walk with God and how we grow in our relationship with him. Colossians 2:6 says this, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. To live your lives in him. That means do the things he does, talk like he talks, act like he acts. As that love is expressed through obedience, God makes himself more fully known to us, and our love relationship with him is deepened as we grow to love him even more. With this understanding of how we're to grow in our love relationship with God, I want us to think about what it is that God invites us to when he speaks to us. Okay? The first thing is God invites us to love him back. The Bible says that he loved us first. Right? He loved us first. And the first thing that God invites us to do is to love him back. Because if one person loves the other, but the other doesn't love the one, there is no relationship. Okay? Relationship is a two-way street. Am I right? Okay. It takes two to tango, right? No fun dancing all by yourself. God invites us to love him. We respond to this invitation when we accept the fact of God's love being demonstrated to us through the cross. The cross is a once-for-all statement of God's never-ending love for you and for me. Never-ending love. It was a once-and-for-all statement that said, I love you this much. I love the little saying that goes, I asked God how much he loves me. And he stretched out his arms and said, this much. That's a picture of the cross. You know, Jesus, I love you this much. All the way. All the way. Whatever was it needed, whatever it took, that's how much I love you. By his love, God provided us with an opportunity to know him personally. Not just to love him, but to know him. Like I said, you can't really love somebody until you get to know him. Us. Now, God chose to do different. But you don't really... just think about your relationships. You don't get to love somebody until you get to know him. And that's what God does for us. He gives us the opportunity to know him. And when we come to know him personally through trusting his son, Jesus. But having come to know him personally, he invites us to know him more intimately. He invites us to know him in an intimate love relationship. God's desire is that our chief motivation for our daily walk will be growing in love for him. Just think about your friendships when it comes to your friendships that you have. And I mentioned this to our group on Wednesday night. Which do you consider a true friend? A person who associates with you only when they need to borrow something? Or when they need something? Or one who associates with you because they like spending time with you? Okay? Which one do you consider the truer friend? The one that comes up and says, man, you got a hammer? Can I borrow a hammer from you? And you think, yeah, but I'm still waiting on the last hammer you borrowed from me. What happened to that one in the jack? Yeah, in the set of wrenches and the screwdrivers and the power saw. But yeah, I have a hammer. Okay. Is it that friend or the one that just comes over and says, hey, can we just hang out? I just want to visit. Can we have coffee? You have coffee? I have coffee. Let's have coffee. Let's just sit down. How's your world? Tell me about your kids. Tell me about your grandkids. Tell me about your boyfriend, your girlfriend. I'm not looking. I'm just wanting to know. I'm just concerned. I just want to know how you are. That's a more of a relationship. Well, that's what God invites us into. Okay? When you think about there are a lot of people in church this morning. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about across the world, okay? I would dare say that a large number of prayers that are being offered up are people asking for hammers. God, I need this. So-and-so is sick. And listen, those are not bad prayers. Those are good. We're supposed to pray for people, okay? But too many times, that's all people pray for. I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want. Please, please, please. Amen. And it's not sitting down. Tell me what's on your mind. What is it that I can do for you? You've done a lot for me. Is there anything I can do for you? What might that be, God? More prayers are people asking for hammers, I believe. When you go to God in prayer, is it always because you need something, or do you seek his face and his presence just because you love him? That is God's desire for us in our relationship with him. He wants to develop a true friendship. He wants us to enjoy being in his presence. And there's a promise that Jesus makes to those who are called friends of God. He says in John chapter 15:15, he says this, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. I love that song. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I always call it Fran song because in my mind it says, I'm a friend of God. He calls me Fran. But he calls me friend. He says, I want to be friends with you. Folks, name a high-ranking official, a president, a king, a queen, a dictator, whatever, that has ever said to his subjects, all of them, can we just be friends? Now, some may have said it, just like they say, read my lips. Okay, whatever. But that's what the God of all creation says. I want to be friends with you. I want to be your friend. Can we be friends? That's amazing. That's amazing. God invites us to love him back. The second thing is God invites us to join him. And we talked about this morning several opportunities, just waiting for people to join God in His work. This is what obedience is, joining in God in what He's already doing. And it's how Jesus walked. John, I'm going to read some scripture out of John chapter 5. It's verse 17 and then verse 19 and 20. And it says this, "In His defense, Jesus said to them, 'My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working.'" Verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does, yes, and He will show Him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." I love that passage, that part of a verse. The end of verse 19, it says, "Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." That's the culmination of our relationship with God. Whatever God is doing and moving and acting, He expects us as friends, as co-workers, to be involved in the same thing, working right along with Him to accomplish His purpose. In this passage, I want to look at several of the examples that Jesus said just in this passage. He says, "My Father has been working right up until now. My Father has always been active since before creation, and He's always been working, even to this very day, He's been working." And then He said, "And now God has me working. Now I'm working. And by the way, I do nothing of my own initiative. I only do what the Father tells me to do." The fourth thing He says, "I watch to see what the Father is doing." That's this whole theme of this study that says, if you want to get involved in God's work, look what He's doing and join Him. A lot of times we want to say, "God bless my work. God bless my work. God bless the things that I want to do and the things that I want to accomplish for You, of course." But and listen, some of those are great things. But God is already working and doing so much around us. What does it say? He is always at work. So let's find where He's working and join it. It's a guaranteed success. That's what the fifth thing I wrote down. I do what I see the Father already doing. And I love it. The sixth thing He says, you see, the Father loves me. He encourages the readers to say to understand that the Father loves him. And guess what? The Father loves you too. The seventh thing I wrote down, He shows me everything that He Himself is doing. If you're able to see some of the things that God is doing, it's because He wants you to see it. Why does He want you to see it? Well, that's the question for you to answer. Is He just bragging on Himself? "Look what I'm doing. I just want you to see. I want you to notice." Or is that an invitation? "Look, this is what I'm doing. If you would like to join me, here's an invitation for you to join me in my work." Folks, I pray that we would see the invitations. The key word here is to watch. And in Hebrews 12, the first two verses, it says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Verse 2, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Any of you ever play Follow the Leader? Anybody? Okay. Follow the Leader. You do whatever the leader's doing, right? And there's other games, other variations of the game, but whatever. You know, the leader does something and you do it. Okay, maybe it's a version of Simon Says or whatever. As long as Simon says it, you do it. But we also need to be following our leader. And as we do that, as we follow Christ in His work, we will discover that the life that Christ has us to live, it's been designed to live as a great adventure with God. You know, when you read, and when I was finishing one of my degrees, read a lot of the stories of missionaries, Okay? A lot of famous missionaries and a lot of that I had never even heard of before. But to the person, each one could write on, man, I'm so glad I didn't miss this. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It hasn't been always fun. It hasn't always been easy. But it's been a great adventure. It's been a great adventure. I personally don't know anybody that has ever been obedient to God, followed his call, and said, that was a big mistake. Woo, I regret doing that. I don't know anybody. Maybe there is. I don't know. But maybe there were some other issues, that motivations and whatever. But I don't know anybody. I can't tell you anybody that I know or even heard of that says, no, it was a mistake for me to follow God. He invites us to join him. The third thing. He invites us to love him. He invites us to join him. And God invites us to know him. And as we work with God, as we cooperate in the work that he invites us to do, we become more intimate with him in that relationship. In fact, I need to let what I already know of God motivate me to trust him and obey him even more. He's faithful. He's proved himself in my life over and over and over and over and over again. And as I obey, then I learn more of him, which only results in my having even more reason to obey him further. Jesus expressed God's call to all in Matthew 11, 28 and 30 through 30. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I was reverting back to my King James. All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's important to note that the key to growing in my knowledge of God and my relationship with God is my willingness to participate in the work that God invites me to join him in. Jesus speaks here of that as our yoke. A yoke. Just think about a yoke, and maybe you don't know what a yoke is. A yoke is an instrument, an implement that they would put around the ox or the cattle, and then they would enable them. It's kind of like a wooden harness. Now that may sound rough and whatever, but it was the best way to hook up the ox to the plow. It allowed the ox to do its work comfortably, distributed the weight. It's a tool that's used to ease the burden for the oxen and allowed both the ox and the driver to accomplish great things. Let me see if I got all that right. Let me look at my notes. Jesus would have us understand that if we're weary of carrying the burden of living a meaningless life, we need to be willing to put ourselves in a position to be used by him. In other words, we need to be willing to obey. The oxen's yoke is not designed as an instrument of torture, but as an instrument of blessing, as it allows the ox to be comfortable, as it is used by the master in the work that it was designed to do. Okay, likewise, those steps of obedience that God calls each of us as his children to walk in are designed to bless us and are used by its master in the work that we're designed to do. This statement, listen to this. Those steps of obedience that God calls each of us as his children to walk in are designed to bless us as we are used by the master in the work that we were designed to do. God has designed works for us to do. He doesn't just say, if you feel like it, I have a plan. I mean, if you feel like it, you can join my plan. The realer reality is, I'm making up all kinds of words this morning, baby. The truer reality is this. I'm working over here. I want you to see it. Because I have a part for you in it, I've planned it since day one. Are you willing to step into the role that I've designed you for? That's really what God is saying. Perhaps the greatest blessing that we receive when we respond to God's invitation to love Him, to know Him, by joining in His work through obedience, is that we will be used by God to share with a lost and dying world what the power of God can do in their lives, and that they can also be blessed. Folks, God is in the show-off business. And if you think I can't serve because I don't have it all together, you need to understand that that is the best opportunity for God to show off just what He can do. When you look, when you go back through Scripture and you study about any of the great leaders, Moses, he killed somebody, he was a stutterer, couldn't talk, was embarrassed and afraid. God used Moses in a mighty way to lead the whole nation to freedom. David, just a little bitty old shepherd boy, he wasn't even thought to be good enough to be looked at to be the next king. When Samuel came to anoint the next king, they said, he looked at all his sons and said, got some big ones, some tall ones, some handsome ones, but do you have anybody else? He said, well, I got the youngest one, David, but he's out tending the sheep. Go get him. Bring him in. Little bitty boy. That's the one. That's the one. God used David in a mighty way. Just think about him. God didn't take the most knowledgeable, the best, and the highest class and the ones that had it all together and said, I can use this one. He picked people like you and me, the ones that have messed up and the ones that, I mean, yes, thank God. Well, guess what? Jesus tells us, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God worked that way back then, guess what? He's still going to work that way today. He can use you and He can use me. Would you let Him? Would you let Him? I saw this sign. I had a nephew that was in a bad motorcycle accident several years back. He was taken to the Baptist Hospital in Waco. I don't know what the name of it is, but I know it was a Baptist hospital. And there was a sign out there that said, will your life be a mess or a message? What would you have your life be, a mess or a message? What it will be determined by how you daily respond to God's invitation to love Him, to join Him, and to know Him. Even the smallest step of obedience is a giant step toward blessing. My question to you this morning is, what step do you need to take? What step do you need to take? Do you need to take another step closer to where God is? You need to take a step and say, God, I see you working in that, and I want to be involved in you and your work. You take a step towards, Lord, there's some things that I need to repair that I've noticed that I've messed up, and I want to really get those right, and I want to show that with you, because you said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I want to, these are important, and I want to take care of these issues, and I want to fix those issues. God can do that. God can do it. You need to take a step towards saying, I've been far away from God. I say I love Him, but I just had this, I was more like a grateful, like, thank you for saving me, and I'll just do my own thing, but thanks anyway, appreciate it. And I want to take a step towards saying, you know what? I can at least show my appreciation to God for saving me by at least being willing to do some work for Him. Maybe you need to take that step. Take that little step. Take that little step. Maybe the step you need to take is, I've heard about Jesus a long time and I know that there's a God. And I kind of believe there's a God, but I've never really internalized that. And I've never taken that step to say that I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And I understand that what He did on the cross, He did for me. And I receive that. I accept that. And I'm going to let Him call the shots now. Maybe you need to take that step. But let me tell you, that's the first step. That's where it all begins. You don't get more steps until you take that step. I don't know what you need this morning. I don't know what God has been saying to you through this message today or through the study of the week. Or if you're not doing the study, God can still speak. He doesn't just speak through this study. He speaks to those that want to hear His voice. Amen. So if you want to hear the voice of God and you're asking Him and He's speaking to you, let me encourage you, take a step. Take a step. I don't know what that step is for you, but take it. You won't regret it. whatever it is. Well, I've just been satisfied with being a church member, but I kind of feel like God may be wanting more from me. Take that step. Take that step. I've never done anything outside of the church walls for God. I'm kind of scared. Take the step. Casey will hold your hand. Take the step. Don't be satisfied with where you are. God loves you where you are, but He has designed so much more for you. Father in heaven, convince us of that truth, that You have designed so much more for us if we would only be willing to take the step to tell You that we love You back, to say to You, I'm available for Your work, and I want to know You more. I want to know You. Lord, help us to take that step. Lord, there's several people here today. And Lord, You are probably dealing with every one of us at some level. Lord, I pray that some would respond. Lord, my prayer is that all of us would respond. Lord, what You could do with a church this size every one of us are on fire for You and completely submitted to You and willing to do whatever You say. Good. Lord, You could do anything. You changed the world with 12 men. Lord, help us to see and help us to be convinced that You're real and that Your word is powerful. And when You send us forth, Lord, it's like Your word. When You send forth Your word, it does not return void, but it does what it's sent to do. Lord, the same is true with us. When You send us forward and we go, we're not going to return void. You're going to accomplish Your work through the people that are willing to do Your work. So Lord, use us. May You find us willing to be used. We know that You'll use us. I pray that You find us willing. In Jesus' name. I invite you to stand. Again, I'm not sure where you are in this process, but let me encourage you. If the Lord is speaking to you, take that step. Respond. Say, yes, here I am. Send me. Isaiah didn't think he was worthy. Matter of fact, he said, I'm not worthy. I have unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. The Lord said, I can take care of that. Psst, cleansed his lips. Isaiah said, then here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And we have. I could go on and on. But this is your time for you to respond. The altar is open. I'm up here. Rebecca's up here. Other people, if you need to pray with somebody, they're here. As we sing, follow God's voice in your life.